Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Today's discussion is for executives at large corporates and retailers, probably the CFO suite, accounts receivables, accounts payables, controllers, folks responsible for B2B payments, working capital, and how to navigate the new inflationary regime. Rising inflation is impacting the use of credit cards in B2B businesses. For background, inflation increases the cost to make and deliver products and services, and critically impacts the time of payment for moving goods and services. With inflation being high, every day that a supplier has to wait to get paid means the value of that money is decreasing. So accelerating the payment, or decreasing DSO, you'll hear Steve and John refer to this decreasing DSO, which means accelerating the payment, is more important than ever. Additionally, the current lending environment means that it's more expensive and more difficult to access funding than ever before. Therefore, getting paid sooner is a solution to working capital. Today, we're joined by John Weinreich, Head of Sales for Boost Payment Solutions, as well as Mercator Advisory Group's own Director of Corporate and Enterprise Payments, Steve Murphy. Without further ado, let's take to the show. So, John, we're in a very different business environment than we've been used to. Curious if you could talk to me about how today's current inflation and high cost of capital might cause suppliers to reconsider their position on accepting commercial cards.
Ryan, it's a great question. A lot of us find ourselves asking, are we in a recession? Are we not in a recession? No one's really certain, but I know what we feel and we see, and that high inflation and high cost of capital are certainly here. Normally when we see unemployment creeping upwards, consumer spending slows, and the financial system shrink, we're in a recession. It's not too hard to tell when we experience those factors. But that's not really the case this time around. Unemployment is low. Employers are averaging around 500,000 jobs created each month, but the economy continues to shrink for two straight quarters. And that in of itself is the definition of a recession. But, juxtapose that with buyers continue to spend, but their feelings about the economy are near an all-time low. So it seems to me that the data is moving in opposite directions. I mean, I would tell you from my perspective, it sure feels like we're in a recession, and we're certainly approaching one, or at least a mild recession, but it's definitely bizarre. And, I said not that long ago, and I'm talking a period of just maybe 12 to 14 months, inflation was relatively non-existent. I mean, we're in a period where we've seen the fastest rise of inflation in 50 years. And if we talk about where businesses are feeling pain, that's specifically around the impact that inflation and cost of capital has on their business. And so for inflation, simply put, the value of a dollar tomorrow, or in the case for some suppliers who have DSOs at 90 days or greater, and that's not uncommon that we see here today, that dollar's worth less 90 days out as opposed to it being collected today. And if I put that into a little more context for a supplier even further, today's inflation at 8.5%, is about 2.32 basis points per day. So that means for every 30 days, the supplier is waiting to be paid, it's costing them almost 70 basis points. And if you go back to that 90-day example that I shared a moment ago, that means just the inflationary impact alone for a supplier having to wait over that 90-day term, that's a net effective rate of 2.09, or even closer to 3% if they're waiting 120 days to be paid. So, and then you throw in the high cost of borrowing. Prime today is at 5.5%, but we know very few businesses have access to lending rates that low. So that even further adds to the pressure on a business. And so if you borrow to bridge that 90-day DSO period, I mean, that's over 1.3%. And, so for all those reasons and others, I'd say I would strongly urge businesses to reconsider their commercial card acceptance policy.
John, it's interesting. You mentioned the basis points and the impact of inflation. If you actually take that and put it into a $100,000 invoice for 30 days, that's roughly an extra $700.
Yeah.
So that's in reality, it does cost a lot of money. And add to that the increasing cost of capital if you happen to be financing any short-term debt. Just add that on top. One question I did have for you, John. One of the things that that I do is to go to various industry events, and I do talk to a lot of people, as you can imagine, for doing research. And I keep hearing that during the past 2.5 years or so during the pandemic, that card acceptance has really accelerated on the commercial card side, but it's very hard to find any real data on that without getting any proprietary information, without giving any away. What are you guys seeing? Is that in fact happening?
We see an increase as well. The conversation that we're having today is just, you know, is one of many that are happening in the payment space, you know, that highlight the benefit of card use and acceptance. But, you know, I would say we at Boost, we're really in a unique position that not only are we experts focused on exclusively on B2B, but we also act as a link or connector within that closed loop between buyer and supplier. And you know, working with the networks, the issuers, the card members and suppliers, we see it from all angles, and we definitely see a growth in use and acceptance.
So John, staying with card acceptance, clearly card acceptance and use still has a way to go to reach something, you know, that approximates ubiquity within the B2B space. What's standing in the way of wider adoption and utilization?
I mean, Ryan, I think there's a number of things. I mean, historically, there's been this perspective perpetuated that commercial cards really only held value for the buyer, and, you know, to the tune of rewards and rebates and an effective strategy for extending their DPO. You know, and in the past, I think a lot of businesses and suppliers avoided accepting commercial cards for their receivables because they thought the cost of acceptance far outweighed the benefits, and it was, you know, cumbersome and costly to implement. If we fast forward to today, you know, all businesses on all sides of the transaction cycle are kind of struggling to manage through what I call this squeeze and all these competing priorities, along with asking them to try something new in the B2B space, can be especially challenging when they're working through, you know, lots of priorities and a lean staff and competing resources and needs. Then you fold in their concerns of trying to understand, you know, hey, does this fit within my infrastructure? You know, do we even know how to implement a solution like this? I mean, all this is slowing businesses from faster adoption and making and taking on this adoption. But what I would balance it with is all businesses are looking to innovate and grow and reach their full potential. So we in the payment space need to put on our educator's hat and reframe the conversation in a way that AR and AP automation is not hard to implement and doesn't have a high cost of entry. You know, and furthermore, the use and acceptance of commercial cards can really be a benefit to a business and be viewed as a business tool for them achieving their larger goals and strategies. And I think that the COVID pandemic really shined a light on the risks of traditional B2B payment types and the opportunities that exist in a fully digital automated environment, you know, like straight through processing. So, you know, I think you take all that combined with the current macroeconomic environment that we're in, and I would tell you, from my professional opinion, now is the perfect time for suppliers to revisit their stance on card acceptance.
Yeah, John, I had just released some research on that specific point. And again, in some of the discussions I've had with industry experts and participants, one of the factors that I hear that's driving some increased acceptance is the concept of flexible price. And that can include everybody across the chain in a three-party and or a four-party card scheme. What are you guys seeing? Is that something that you're involved with and seeing more of these days?
Steve, we are. It's something that we talk about a lot. And I think in order for it to really see it through, is there needs to be a win-win for all parties involved. I mean, buyers want their incentives. They want to extend their DPO. Suppliers want to improve their cash flow, as we talked earlier, reduce the impacts of inflation, lessen their usage on their line of credit, you know, i.e. shortening their DSO. And I think one of the ways to achieve this is through this flexible pricing construct, or we've heard it called dynamic discounting, or we actually call it here, is our product called Dynamic Boost, which kind of breaks the mold of traditional rigid card pricing constructs. And it offers, you know, buyers and suppliers the flexibility, you know, based on rules that fit their mutual business needs. And so I think that's a real signal of how the marketplace is evolving and being attentive to and responsive to the unique needs that are in the marketplace.
I think another discussion point would be the actual physical processing of virtual cards, which, you know, by their nature, if things are set up correctly, can really improve the amount of straight-through processing. How are you seeing that improve? I mean, the traditional way of processing virtual cards has been, you know, go to a terminal and input the payment on the part of the receivables folks. But with straight-through processing, you eliminate some of that manual processing cost and errors involved. What are you guys seeing there?
It sure does. You know, traditional virtual card experience has challenges for both kind of the AP and the AR sides. I mean, the, you know, authorization expires, disputes, PCI data exposure, delayed payments are all barriers that we've experienced in the past. But I think by moving to virtual cards with straight-through processing, it enables a mechanism that automates the entire processing of transactions from end to end. And, you know, SPP enables the issuer or buyer to push a card payment directly to a supplier's acquiring bank. It eliminates the need for manual entry. It's a completely digital process. It eliminates any exposure to PCI data, thus eliminating compliance. And it also, one of the soft but really I think impactful benefits, it guarantees timely, accurate, and reliable payments as well. So I think it's really brought on tremendous benefits to the market, which is why we're seeing increased adoption. I think if I think off the top of my head, is that it's not too near in the future, STP or virtual card payments will be about 52% of the entire payment modality in the marketplace. So we're seeing a real surge of that in the market.
Yeah, wouldn't want to leave out the lower incidence of fraud as well. In the most recent AFP fraud control survey, which they do, I think annually, might be biannually, but you know, the incidence of payment fraud attempts for checks and ACH and so forth was maintained pretty high. But when you looked at virtual cards, it was less than 2%. So it's an interesting factor to build in.
Yeah, I think it's 66% of instances of fraud for checks, 39% for wire, 34% for ACH. And as you said, it's less than 3%, close to 2% for virtual cards. And so that's a really effective tool in mitigating fraud in the payment space.
Don, I'm hoping you can help me dig into sort of the incentives, the benefits. I'm sort of curious about how the relationship between suppliers and buyers gets impacted by the use of commercial cards. Like, what are the benefits for the folks involved?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. You say relationship, and I think that's a really effective word choice, and that there needs to be a relationship there in order for there to be a benefit. But the use and acceptance of commercial cards, it could be of a help to both buyer and supplier and help them effectively manage cash flow in this really high inflationary environment that we're in. We want to create kind of positive ripple effects up and down the supply chain. So, you know, if we start at the beginning of the transaction cycle or with the buyer, you know, beyond the cost saving benefits, you know, businesses are increasingly turning to commercial cards because, I mean, they're easy to use, they're more secure, you know, they offer opportunities to monetize their payments and increase cash flow and make that working capital strategy really work for their business. On the other side of the transaction sits the supplier. And for companies accepting cards, I mean, they too can, you know, see benefits that are really important to their business, which can make cards a win-win for both sides of the transaction. And I'd say by offering cards a payment option, typically a business can reduce their DSO, they can attract new customers, they can protect existing revenue from competition and also potentially increase sales to existing customers. But it can also bring a whole host of other benefits ranging from risk reduction to operational efficiencies and improved customer experience. And there's real tangible value to those as well. So, you know, suppliers are allowing themselves to be fully open for business. And by that, I mean, by allowing their customers to do business with them using a payment modality they prefer, it really drives a significant benefit. I saw a stat that said 56% of buyers demand several payment options. And so in a very meaningful way, they're meeting that need. So both buyers and suppliers can use and accept under a construct that works for their business, that benefits their business, that also delivers a benefit back to their business as well.
You know, John, it's interesting to bring in some periphery factors. One of the things that we did some research on recently was the use of receivables financing. And, you know, we surveyed more than 1,000 sort of senior financial professionals, and 75% of the time, at some point, these companies, which range in sizes from, you know, $10 million to above $1 billion, they will be utilizing some form of receivables financing. And if you think about, you know, short-term financing, supply chain finance, that can be a pretty big number. So the interesting thing is that cards provides credit on the basis of the buyer. And so the supplier doesn't have to use as much of their lines of credit that they might, but that's an interesting point.
Yeah, it is. It's not a platform that we offer. It's one of the many that are in the market. But as you said, it can be costly for a business to use, you know, receivables financing. And what I would position to say is, in our environment, to me, that signals an openness looking for an alternative solution. So if a business has looked at financing their receivables, I would coach them to say, take a look at what other options are available to you in the market. And that certainly commercial card acceptance can be another consideration to make to help them achieve their goals of, you know, increasing their working capital, reducing their DSO, but it very may likely come at a lower price point than what they're currently experiencing today.
Really cool. Well, Steve and John, thank you so much for sharing your expertise on commercial cards today. A lot of great data and insights. You know, looking forward to our next conversation.
I am as well. Okay,
thanks.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.